John chapter 15, verse 9. And I want to deal this evening with the word love. If you turn on the radio or television, you'll hear a lot about love, or pick up the newspapers, you'll read about love. But much of the love that we see in the world, in fact, most of the love we see in the world is false. It's lust and is not what the Bible teaches. We, though, are going to look at Bible love today. John 15, verse 9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Jesus here is telling us to live in, to walk in, to persevere in His love every day. In Jude 21, it says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." That's our responsibility. Keep ourselves in the love of God. And today I want to preach on how to stay in the love of God. But let's pray first. Lord, again, we do thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your love. We thank You that we don't have to be perfect for You to love us. And we pray that we will respond to that love by being better Christians and doing what we ought to do. But more than anything, I thank You for Your love. In Your name we pray. Amen. The God of the Bible, and this is what I want to get across tonight, is a God of love, mercy, and grace. This doesn't mean that I want to encourage you to go off into sin, because He'll still love you. But when you study the Bible, you'll see that God's love is evident in all His actions. You really look at the Bible and you see the love of God in everything He does, including His judgments. God's love was evident in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned against Him. Just think, He creates them for fellowship, and they rebelled against Him, and they were disobedient. Yet in His love and mercy, He came walking in the garden, calling Adam, "Adam, where art thou?" He's the one looking for them. And He slew animals and clothed them as a picture of being clothed in righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I believe they were saved that day. We can see God's love in the universal flood. And again, picture this, and I don't want to take time because it's not a short message, but in Noah's day, the Bible says the whole world was corrupted before God. And I could go into the homosexuality and the sensualness and the corrupt and the sickness of sin. Yet, even though Noah wasn't perfect, if you know your Bible, you know he wasn't perfect. One man found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God saved him to build a huge ark, not only to save him and his family, but to save the world as it was known. Now, I'm glad He loved us so much that He restored the world for Noah, and in reality, for us. And the point that I would make is that same God loves you and I today in the same way. Now, God's love can even be seen in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, this is something. Again, all the homosexuality and the sodomy, name for Sodom, and the sin all around. And again, if you know your Bible, Lot was backsliding, and God salvaged him, okay? And He led him out to safety. Isn't that something? Aren't you glad? Now, I know we want to act like perfect Christians, but none of us are. Aren't you glad? We can see God's love in the life of Peter, Jesus' friend, that one who was the right-hand man of Jesus, and then turned on Him at His darkest moment. And we know how He cursed and denied Him. But at the Sea of Galilee, we see the Lord saying, "Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? Peter, do you love me?" And the next picture we see of Peter, he's preaching at Pentecost. and seeing 3,000 people saved. Aren't you glad? I mean, this is encouraging to me. We can see God's love in every one of His actions, even in wrath. And if there's ever been a day when the world needs God's love, it's today. We've never lived in a day when people were more angry. Have you noticed that? Just angry and bitter. Just seems like the whole world is hateful. You can say hi and they'll say, "What are you talking about?" You know, we need to spread God's word. Now, over in Romans 5:8, we know this. It says, "But God commended His love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's wonderful. In Romans 8:38 and 39, another familiar passage, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that strong? Nothing will separate us. You don't have to worry. You say, "I could never figure this out. Now, I've lived a very healthy life, but I've had lots of problems in my life. I have never, ever asked myself, do you love me, God?" He loves us. No matter what happens, He loves us. And in 1 John 4, verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We not need to show people how God loves. And we need preachers to shout, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Henry Morehouse, he was a great preacher in days gone by. And it said that he would never start a sermon without quoting John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yet, G. Campbell Morgan said he could never preach a sermon on John 3:16 because it was too big for him. And I side with him. That's the way I feel about preaching on the love of God. I can't plumb its depths. It's impossible. I can't touch its feelings. And we can't measure the love of God. But man, do we need it, don't we? We need to know it in a world of anger and filth and sickness. And we need the love of God. But again, in Jude 21, it says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now, what's that saying? Can you drift away from God's love? Can you get in such a condition that we are no longer the object of God's love? No. Praise God, no. That would violate the context. In verse 24, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Now, there's no way possible for a child of God to lose his salvation. And I am glad. It doesn't mean, though, that you have to work to keep ourselves in the love of God. The Bible tells us that He loved us so much that He gave His Son for us to be saved. He loves the Christian even when we're dirty. He loves the Christian even when we fall into sin. He loves us even when we're out of fellowship. He's pleading for you to come back. He loves us when there's no response. He loves you when you don't love Him. He loves me when I'm not lovable. Don't ever doubt the love of God. But what about Jude 21? Keep yourselves in the love of God. What does it mean? It's talking about our love for Him. Keep yourself in the love of God. It's saying fan your love for Him. It's saying build your love for Him. Increase your love for Him. As a Christian, your love should be growing every day. That means you're going to love His Word. You're going to love His church. That's how you know if you love Him. You're going to love prayer. You're going to really love to pray. You're going to love His children. And the more right they are with Him, the more you're going to love Him. I want to check your love. I want you to gauge it today. I want you to take your temperature. Do you love God more than yesterday? Do you love Him more than last year? Do you love Him more than when you were first saved? Your love ought to be growing. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. The Church of Ephesus didn't do that, did he? We heard a sermon on this last week. Thou hast left thy first love. Peter didn't do that. And that's why Jesus had to come and say, lovest thou me, Peter? Isn't that sad? As much as it's wonderful that he loves us, wouldn't it be sad for Jesus to have to come and ask you, do you love me? Demas didn't do that. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. But we have a responsibility to love God. And you get this, and some of you really need to get this. You need to learn to love God more than your family. If you don't love God more than your family, and it isn't synonymous, if you don't love God more than your family, you're going to hurt your family. Do you hear that? You are hurting your family. You need to love God more than things, job and vocation, boyfriend, girlfriend. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You love Him that much? Be honest. Keep yourself in the love of God. In as much love as you can. I believe every Christian here should ask, how can I love Him more? How can I love Him more? Again, I know I harp on this some, but some of you, I say again, you are hurting your family because you love them and you put them before God. You're hurting you, your relationship with God, and your family. How can I love Him more? How can He be more personal to me? How can I be more sensitive to Him? How can He be more real? If you have a Schofield reference Bible, and I don't, but if you do, in the center of the page, there's dates found. Now, these are not inspired, but they're very accurate because they were put there by a Bible scholar by the name of Usher. And in his last days, Mr. Usher lived in a wheelchair. And those that helped take care of him, every day if the sun was out, they'd set him in the east so he could get the very first rays of the day. Then they'd move that wheelchair in the middle of the day, and then to the west so he could get the very last of the sun. And when asked why, they said, we want to keep this loving man in the sunshine. And that's one of the great goals God has for all of us. Again, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter your responsibilities. He wants to keep you in the sunshine of His love. And when you realize that sunshine, it won't matter how much money you make. It really won't. He's done everything to instruct us as how to do that. He loves us and says, stay away from this. He instructs us, do that. Minute instructions to receive His best. But like dumb animals, we balk. And we pull. And we do so much to disobey. Now, I want to give you three, only three, there's many, but three ways God's given to keep us in His love. And the first is, if we're going to keep ourselves in the love, we're going to have to keep ourselves in His Word. In the Bible. By reading the Bible, by searching the Word of God, you'll help to keep yourself in His love. You cannot love God the way you ought to if you don't love His Word. You can't be in a right relationship with God without having a right relationship with His Word. If you're neglecting His Word, you're neglecting Him. If you're treating this Bible lightly, you're treating Him lightly. You can't argue with that, can you? It's a fact. Some don't know what it is to read the Bible every day. And more than that, people haven't relished a period of time with God and His Word for weeks. For weeks. But there's no way you can love God and not love this book. In John 15, 9 through 11, if you can turn there with me. John 15, verse 9 to 11. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So, okay, God loves Jesus and Jesus loves us. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, here it is. Here it is. It's not just feeling. This is a fundamentalist preaching here. If you keep my commandments, I think it's especially women, but you know, a lot of men are being raised as women today. It's just feeling, feeling, feeling. Oh, I feel this or I believe that. Don't tell me you love God. Don't tell him you love God if you don't keep his commandments. That means, woman, you're in subjection. You say, oh, I knew he couldn't get away from that. That means, man, you're to be the head of the home. That means, children, you are to obey your parents. And we could go on and on and on. As the Father hath loved me, so I love you. Continue ye in my love. Oh, yeah, Jesus, I love you if you keep my commandments. Oh. Oh. I should tithe even though I'm on welfare? You wouldn't be on welfare if you tithe. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Does God love? Isn't that the first verse? God loves Jesus? And he abides in his love? Why does he say he abides in his love? Because he keeps his commandments. And if you want to keep abiding in his love, you're going to keep his commandments. These things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You want to be happy? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And where are his commandments? In this book. He wrote them so we might be successful and stay in his love. They're not to hurt us, but to help us. Don't listen to the world. You can't even know the commandments of God without searching the scriptures. And let me give you a little secret. There's more than 10. They're on every page. And he says, keep my commandments. And the people who love him do. Now, look at John 15:14. 15:14. Ye are my friends. There it is. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, I'm a good Christian. If you do whatsoever I command you. I don't like that preacher. He always preaches on women being subjection to their husband. I don't agree with that. Well, you'll never know the love of God. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Don't you want to be his friend? Don't you want to love him? The more you love this book, the more you'll love your Savior. The more you live in this book, the more you'll live with the Savior. The psalmist said, "Oh, how I love thy law." And because of that, he could say, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints." There's a definite connection between our love for the Bible and him. Again, will you answer this? Not just let me blab up here. Honestly, do you love this book? At times, I'm sure some wonder why others are better Christians than you are. You wonder why they have victory that you don't have. They have answered prayer, real answered prayer. And God does so much for them. And maybe their family seems to have the smile of God. God wants this for everybody. I don't think, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I don't think God picks and chooses people and says, "I'm going to bless them, and I'm not going to bless them." He tells us how to be blessed. And yet, like mules, not pastored long enough, just like mules, people set their jaw and they say, "I'm going to do this." And then they say, "I'm not a happy Christian." No, you never will be. You'll lose your kids. You'll lose your marriage. You'll lose your joy. Hey, God wants us all to have blessings. But one thing we must do is get in the book. Here is the instruction book, the map to hidden treasure. And we just lay it aside. The Bible will keep you in the love of God and keep that love tender and real. Remember the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus when Jesus opened the scriptures and said, "Did not our hearts burn?" Our hearts felt like fire, like Jeremiah, "There's fire in my bones." You really enjoy when the preacher expounds upon the Word of God? Do you really? You say, "I like some preachers and I don't like..." Hey, I'll tell you something. One thing I'm looking forward to when Pastor Dameron's the pastor is to sit down in that pew and listen to more preaching. I love to hear preaching, and for these 43 years, I've done most of it because even when somebody else is preaching, I'm preaching someplace else. I'm going to enjoy. I love preaching. I love the preaching conference. And people don't have to be fancy pants preachers or anything like that. Man, these guys, when they get ordained, they haven't preached very much, and they get up here. I always enjoy them. I always do. What's your relationship to the Word of God today? It'll show you your relationship to God. Someone asked George Mueller how many times he read the Bible through. And he said, 66 or 67. Can you imagine that? 66 or 67 times, he said, and it's gotten sweeter every time. And let me tell you something. I don't read that lengthy portion. I am a slow reader, and I'm not a good reader. And I'm a believer. You just read until you get something out of it. But I'll tell you what, it does get sweeter as you get older. Many don't feel close to him because they're strangers to the Bible. A woman invited her friends for Bible study, a rich woman. And when she looked for her Bible, she couldn't find it. She looked everywhere, dug everywhere. She couldn't find her Bible. And she finally found it. And
she asked her maid, "Do you know how that got here?" She said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "When I first came as your maid, I put it there and I wanted to see how long it would take for you to look for it." I wonder if she was fired. But honestly, ask yourself, how long does it take for you to miss yours? We find hundreds of Bibles that are not claimed. I can't figure that out. And I am positively convinced people that call themselves Christians and maybe good Christians go a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks without reading the Bible. Now, if I were to ask you, you'd say maybe 2 or 3 days. But no, it's more than that. You just let it go. And you wonder what's wrong with your relationship with God. But second, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? Keeping the Word of God. Secondly, keep yourself out of the world. Now, I'm not talking about the physical world. I think we ought to love the things that God's given us. I have a beautiful evening. I love to look at the moon and the stars. And I love going over here to this park. I'm so glad for this park, even though I won't go into it. I don't think it was honest the way they got it. But I love hiking in that park over there. I do it hundreds of times every year. And I love mountains and I love oceans. But we're not to love this worldly system. You see the difference? It's fine to love what God's given us. But we ought to hate this system. Now, I'm talking about the love of pleasure more than the love of God. I'm talking about a lust for sex instead of a lust for the knowledge and person of God. I'm talking about an addiction to filth or maybe cigarettes rather than an addiction to prayer. What do you love today? Where do you spend your time? I heard about a lady, true story, read it, who lived in a house for 20 years and never took the garbage out. Every once in a while you read about somebody like that. They need a Jack's cleaning service. never took it out. And the garbage was 3 feet deep. And it was rat infested and roach infested. And she lived in this vermin and loved it. And when I read that, I thought of the world. That's life to the world. Sin, drunkenness, perversion, drugs. That's life. That's fun to them. But what a shame. It's life for some that call themselves Christians. Oh, they sneak behind. But they're hoodwinked by Satan. And they do the same thing and wonder what's wrong. We're going to get into the holidays. Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. And some of you, you say, "I'm going to go to church. I find the best church nearby." How good is it? But I think one of the worst things that's happened in our day among so-called fundamental Baptists is the lack of honoring the Lord's Day. And even as it gets to be summer and this type of thing, people, they'll run to church. And they'll fit it in, squeeze God in to their work and their TV and their sports and their hobbies. We do God a favor by running to church and wonder why we're so cold. It's the Lord's Day. Don't let the world change it. It's the Lord's Day. Let me say it again. It's the Lord's Day. And we ought to give it to Him. Okay? Doesn't mean you can read the paper. You can't read the newspaper. But that's about all I ever do, and I don't see anything changing when I'm not the pastor of this church. It's the Lord's Day. It's a time when you can meditate on the things of God. It's time that you can give to Him. And the less you love the world, the more you'll love Jesus. And in 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Some of you can do nothing but watch war movies. You just love war movies. Well, you say they're not dirty. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." You say, "Preacher, I think you've watched a war movie or two." Yeah, I have. I'm not saying a war movie's wrong, but when you're addicted to it, it's wrong. And anything else. "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Wow. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." See the world? See the money and the things and the job and the sports and its ideologies? See all that? It's all geared to draw you away. I don't care what it is. That's why I would never join the military. For one thing, I don't think, and you get mad at me if you want. There's a one time that nobody be more patriotic than I am. But I couldn't fight for this president. And this country is so wicked. I think you're wasting your time. And you join the service, and this is all free. I hadn't planned it. But you join the service, and I'll tell you what. You can't go to the church you want to, and you can't go to church when you want to. You're going to backslide. Amen? You that were in the service, I was in the service. You can't live for God. And so what I'm trying to say is these things are all to draw you away from God, not to Him. And the more your eyes are on the world, the less your eyes will be on Jesus. The more your thoughts are on the world, the less your thoughts will be on Jesus. There are two warring areas in our life. The world, the flesh, the devil fight against the things of God. And I see some of our people just take things light. If they comment on the message or they make jokes about it. And some of you are just flat defeated by the world. You're not rich, but the money has you by the throat. You're worried instead of trusting God. Your family, your wife's complaining, you're goofing off, huh? Is it fun? You're miserable. You are miserable. Who's getting the victory in your life? In Matthew 6, and I'm sorry for not giving you notice, but Matthew 6, 24, I'll read. "No man can serve two masters." You got that? No man can serve two masters. You say, "I got to have a job." But that job and that money is too big for you. You're destroying your life. "I've got to have security. I've got to have money. I've got to..." Yeah, yeah. How you doing? "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Well, you say, "I've got to make money. I've got to..." Yeah, but it's very evident. It's very evident who puts God first. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to be a bus captain or this type of thing, but it's your love. It's what you think about. And I go back again to the person who's not that way. They just show up in church. And sometimes they don't show up in church. The more you love the world, the more you'll despise God. Listen to me. You say, "I would never despise God." The more you love the world, the more you'll not like Christian fellowship. Not with good Christians, you won't. You won't love preaching. You won't like the preacher. You say, I don't like that word despise. The Bible uses it, and you will, one or the other. You'll love the world or you'll love God. You'll despise the world or you'll despise God. Which is it? And don't tell me both because you're calling God a liar. You won't want to pray. You won't want to read the Bible. You'll have to make yourself. You won't want to witness. You just keep playing footsie with the world and you'll despise the things of God. You want to stay in love with God and keep out of the world. And especially don't let the love of money get to you. All over there are people who were soul winners, who were real Bible readers, who did really pray, who were churchgoers that loved and looked forward to going to church, who were givers and wanted to give instead of just giving your tithe because you have to. And now they're dead. They're cold, watching those dirty old CDs. What happened? The world stole your love. And it doesn't start with filth. It starts with laziness, neglect, and so many times, money. I've got to make money. I've got to take care of my family. I've got to be secure. But it ends in a way we can't comprehend. The world will steal your love for God's Son every single time if you don't hate it and you don't fight it. The world is anything that takes you away from the Bible, church, God, prayer, standards. You can name anything. If you want to keep yourself in the love of God, you must keep in the Bible and out of the world. And last, and quickly, because Pastor Dameron has two sermons to go. If you want to keep yourself in the love of God, love His appearing. You say, preacher, are you really looking forward to His rapture? I sure am. I can honestly say, now I'm not one that says He's got to come now. I have differences with some of my brethren, but I wish He'd come now. He could come now, don't get me wrong. And I wish He'd come right now while I'm standing in the pulpit. If you love Him, we'll love His return and we'll have a gaze upward. Turn back to our text of Jude 21. The more you long for someone, the more you love them. If someone's in the military and his wife's at home, she watches the mailbox. That's the Bible. Or the phone. That's prayer. And waits for his return. Now, sick today, isn't it? Today, guys go off to serve the country and their wife runs off with some other guy. If my wife, and I thought of some place that I would hate the most, and that would be Iceland. I think I'd hate Iceland the most. If Sharon had to go to Iceland, and it's all fish and stuff like that and cold, I'd go to Iceland. Okay. Say, why? Because my wife is there. You see? And look at I asked you to turn, and I didn't, at Jude 20:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The more you love Him, the more you'll look. And the more you look, the more you'll love. Are you really looking for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or would you say, not now, I want to get married first. Or I just got a new job, or I'd like to get a house, or I've got goals. Then you don't love Him the way. You don't love Him the way you should. And you're not in love the way you can be.
There's so many Christians who are strangers to the love of God. They're out of it. They don't want it. You're drawn to the subtle drawing cards of the devil. What are you going to do with "continue ye in my love"? What are you going to do with "keep yourselves in the love of God"? You know, it's so foolish the way people, I look out and I see people. I can read. Ah, boy, after all these years, I can read people. And they're building straw men, disagreeing with me. What do you do with the Bible? Keep yourself in the love of God. Where do you stand in the love of God? If you love Him, you're looking for Him. And this old world has no pull. Zero. Nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we